ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो 87th चैप्टर द प्रेयर्स ऑफ द पर्सनिफाइड वेदर्स टेक्स्ट 19। स्वकृता विचित्रा योनिषु विषन्निबा हेतुतया तरोतमो तश्चकाश्चाल् लभत सकृतानुकृति। ओके, आई विल रीड दिस अगेन। तारोतमस् चकस्य अनलोभात् सकृतानुकृति स्वकृतानुकृतिः अथ वितथासु अमुष्य अवितथम् तव धाम समम् विरज धियो अनुयन्ति अभिविपन्नत्व सॉरी अभिविपन्नव एक रसम। स्वकृत विचित्र जनिषु विषन्निव हेतुतया तरोतमश्चकश्चन लोभत्सकृतानुकृतिः अथ वितत्ता समस्या अवितथम् तव धाम समम् वीरजो धिया अनयन्ति अभिविपन्नव एक रसम्। स्वकृत विचित्र जनिषु विषन्निव हेतुतया तरोतमश्चकश्चकस्य अनलोभत्सकृतानुकृतिः अथो वितत्तः समस्या अवितथम् तव धाम समम् वीरज धिवान्नन्ति अभिविपन्नव एको रसम् सकृत विचित्र जनिषु विषन्निव हेतुतया तरोतमश्चकस्सन लोभत्सकृतिर्नुकृतिः अथ वितत्तस्समिष्यावन अवैतम तव धाम समम् विरज धियान्ति अभिविपन्नव एकरसम् स्व by yourself, krita, created, vichitra, variegated, yonishu, within the species of life, vishan, entering, eva, apparently, hetutaya, as the motivation, taro tamaha, according to hierarchies. Chakashi, you become visible. Analobat, like fire. Swa, your own. Krita, creation. Anukriti, imitating. Atha, therefore. Vitathasu, unreal, amushu, among these, various species, avitatham, not unreal, tava, your, dhamma, manifestation, samam, undifferentiated, biraja, spotless, dhiya, whose minds, anuyanti, understand, avibipannavaha, those who are free from all material entanglements, ekorasam, unchanging. Translation by Srila Prabhupada's followers. Apparently, entering among the variegated species of living beings you have created, you inspire them to act, manifesting yourself according to their higher and lower positions, just as fire manifests differently according to the shape of what it burns. Therefore, those of spotless intelligence who are altogether free from material attachments, realize your undifferentiated, unchanging self to be the permanent reality among all these impermanent life forms. Please repeat after me. Apparently, entering among the variegated species of living beings, you have created. You inspire them to act. Manifesting yourself according to the higher and lower positions. Just as fire manifests differently according to the shape of what it burns. Therefore, those of spotless intelligence who are altogether free from material attachments, realize your undifferentiated, unchanging self to be the permanent reality among all these impermanent life forms. These are the prayers by the Vedas. So naturally they are very complicated. Big verses. But beautiful prayers. Purport. Hearing these prayers of the personified Vedas, in which the Shrutis describe the super soul as entering countless varieties of material bodies, a critic may question, how the Supreme can do this without becoming limited. Indeed, proponents of Advaita philosophy see no essential distinction between the Supreme Soul and His creation. In the impersonalist conception, the Absolute has inexplicably gotten itself entrapped by illusion and has thus become first a personal God and then the demigods, humans, animals, planets, and finally matter. Shankaracharya and his followers take great pains to cite Vedic evidence to support this theory of how illusion is imposed on the Absolute. But speaking for themselves, the Vedas here answer this objection and refute to lend their authority to Mayavad impersonalism. The process of creation is technically called Srishti, sending forth. The Supreme Lord sends forth His variegated energies, and these partake of His natural while remaining distinct from Him. This fact is expressed in the true Vedic philosophy of Achinta Bheda Bhed, the inconceivable, simultaneous oneness and different of the Supreme Lord and His energies. Thus, although each of the multitude of individual souls is a distinct entity, all souls consist of the same spiritual substance as the Supreme. Since they partake to the Supreme Lord's spiritual essence, the jivas are unborn and eternal, just as He is. Lord Krishna, speaking to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, confirms this. Natvebaham jatu nasam, natvam neme janadhipaha, na chaiva na bhavishyamaha, sarve vayam ataparam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. Nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Bhagavad Gita 2:12. Material creation is a special arrangement for those jivas who choose to separate themselves from the Supreme Lord's service and thus the creation involves producing an imitation world where they can try to be independent. After creating the many species of material life, the Supreme Lord expands into His own creation as the Supersoul in order to provide the intelligence and inspiration to every living being needs for his day-to-day existence. As stated in Taittiriya Upanishad 2:6-2, Tat Srishta Tad Evanupravishat. After creating this world, He then entered within it. The Lord enters the material world, however, without forming any binding connection to it. The Shrutis here declare by phrase Bishanniva, only seeming to enter. Taratamas Chakasi means that the Paramatma enters the body of every living entity. From the great demigod Brahma down to the insignificant germ, and exhibits different degrees of His potency according to each soul's capacity for enlightenment. Analobatsa kritanukritihi. Just as fire ignited in several objects burns according to the different forms of those objects, so the Supreme Soul, entering the bodies of all living creatures, illuminates the consciousness of each conditioned soul according to his individual capacity. Even in the midst of material creation and destruction, the Lord of all creatures remains eternally unchanged, as expressed here by the word eva rasam, eka rasam. In other words, the Lord eternally maintains his personal form of immeasurable, unalloyed spiritual pleasure. The rare living beings who completely abhitas disengage themselves from material dealings or pana, thereby becoming abhivipannavaha, come to know the Supreme Lord as he is. Every intelligent person should follow the example of these great souls and beg from them the chance to also be engaged in the Supreme Lord's devotional service. Jai Shri Shri Radha Landaneshwar ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. The prayer is recited by Shrutis whose mood is similar to that expressed in the following mantra in the Shetashataru Upanishad 6.11. Eka Deva Sarva Bhuteshu Gudhaha Sarva Vyapi Sarva Bhuta Taratatma Tamadhaksha Sarva Bhutadhi Vashaha Shakshi Cheka Kevalo Nirgunascha. The One Supreme Lord lives hidden inside all created things. He pervades all matter and sits within the hearts of all living beings. As the indwelling supersoul, he supervises their material activities. Thus, while having no material qualities himself, he is the unique witness and giver of consciousness. Srila Sridhar Swami submits his own prayer. Sa-nirmiteshu karjeshu taratamma virajitam sarvanusyuta san matram bhagavatam bhajamahe. Let us worship the Supreme Lord who enters the products of his own creation yet remains aloof from their superior and inferior material gradation. He is pure, undifferentiated existence pervading everything. So the prayers of the Vedas, apparently entering among the variegated species of living beings you have created, you inspire them to act, manifesting yourself according to their higher and lower positions, just as fire manifests differently according to the shape of what it burns. Therefore, those of spotless intelligence who are altogether free from material attachment realize your undifferentiated, unchanging self to be the permanent reality among all these impermanent life forms. So, the prayers of the personified Vedas. The Vedas, different Vedas, are actually personalities. In the spiritual context, everyone is a person. Even Krishna's pillow is a person. Krishna's bed is a person, not ordinary person. Who is Krishna's bed? Balaram is Krishna's bed. Balaram is expanding into different aspects that is needed for serving Krishna. So Vedas are personified. Actually, this chapter begins with Parikshit Maharaj asking Sukadeva Goswami that Vedas are generally dealing with the three modes of material nature. So how could the Vedas offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So that point Krishna also makes in Bhagavad Gita. Traigunna Vishaya Veda Nistraigunna Bhavarjuna. Vedas are apparently dealing with the three modes of material nature. That's apparently dealing. But actually, what is the purpose of the Vedas? Vedeshu Durlabham. Although it is Adurlabham in the Vedas, but Adurlabham to the Vedas, but Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. And eventually Vedas are actually leading to the devotional service of the to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedya. In all the Vedas, I alone am to be known, Krishna is saying. So the purpose of the Vedas is not just karmakanda and gyanakanda. These three modes of material natures are dealing with karmakanda and gyanakanda. But nistraigunna bhavarjuna, transcend the modes of material nature. Mode of passion and ignorance is dealing with karmakanda. Karmakanda is dealing with passion and ignorance. Gyanakanda is leading to mode of goodness. But mode of goodness also is not the goal. The goal is transcendental reality. Nistraigunna. Transcending the modes of material nature. That is the goal of the Vedas, which means that one has to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in relation to that question, Sukadeva Goswami narrated one incident when Narad Muni asked Narayan Rishi in Badrikashram the same question. So this is how we can see through these discussions among the self-realized souls, we get to know the real purpose of the Vedas. And that is why we need a teacher. Books are there, but just books are not enough. Books can be misleading. As we see, Bhagavad Gita, the perfect presentation of the Vedic wisdom is there. But because these people do not have qualified teachers to explain, they're ending up with all kinds of misconceptions about the Vedas, about the Bhagavad Gita. So many people are giving all kinds of interpretation of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada came, and what did Prabhupada give? Bhagavad Gita as it is. Bhagavad Gita as it is. And those Bhagavad Gitas naturally then lead to the conclusion, Bhagavad Gita as they are not to be. So the real Bhagavad Gita has been presented by Srila Prabhupada. And what is that Bhagavad Gita as it is? The way Krishna spoke and the way Arjuna understood. Not the way Krishna spoke and I understand. That is not Bhagavad Gita. And that's the problem with those people. They're taking the words of Bhagavad Gita, but they're presenting it that the way they understand. So what is the importance of a fool's understanding some foolish conclusions? That's why they're not working. So many Bhagavad Gita's translations in English are present in the market today. But all these Bhagavad Gita's put together did not make a single devotee of Krishna. Whereas Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, how many devotees has this book made? Countless. We can't even imagine how many devotees. So that is the effect of Bhagavad Gita, the way Krishna spoke and the way Arjuna understood. Krishna spoke for the sake of Arjuna's understanding. So this is the problem with the Vedic wisdom. If we don't have the proper teacher, then we are prone to become misled. But when you come across a proper teacher, then what do we understand? We see Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. What is the uniqueness of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is? The uniqueness, of course, is, as I said, like the way Arjuna understood. But the uniqueness of presentation is that the last verse of Bhagavad Gita, last instruction of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada, they presented as the first instruction. recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender unto Him. Right at the beginning, Prabhupada made it clear. Become a devotee of Krishna and then only you'll be able to understand the meanings of Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, there is no way. So here also, we are seeing that the Vedas are not really dealing with the three modes of material nature. Thus, that can be one aspect of the Vedas. But the Vedas personified what they are presenting. That is what we have to understand. And what they are presenting. They are simply presenting that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Apparently the Vedas are giving some misconceptions, apparently, that the Lord is impersonal. The Upanishad aspect of the Vedas can lead to that conclusion. The Lord is not person, it's Brahman. Brahman is the transcendental energy, the spiritual light. But then when you probe deeper into it, then you get to see that the spiritual light is only the initial manifestation of the Lord's energy, light. But then we go to the source of the light. Light is there, but what is the source of the light? Brahma is there, but what is Param Brahma? Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitrang Paramang Bhavan. That is Krishna. The Brahma Jyoti is there, but the source of Brahma Jyoti is Krishna Himself. Brahma Jyoti is His bodily effulgence. And then here we are seeing the Paramatma aspect. The Lord is present in the heart of all living entities, from Brahma down to an insignificant germ, microbe. Even in the heart of a microbe, the Lord is situated as Super Soul. But He is not affected by that. And in that respect, an example has been given as the fire taking the shape of the object it is burning. A small little wood burning, the fire takes the shape of that. A big fire is, big log is burning, is taking that shape. A big blast furnace is burning, is taking that shape. It's the same fire. It is not that the shape is becoming the fire. Fire is different, but the shape is coming according to the object it is burning. Similarly, the super soul is situated in the heart of every living entity. And that living entity has his shape according to his karmic reactions. A jiva acts and accordingly he gets the reactions. And as a result of his reaction, he is getting different types of bodies. But that body is not affecting the super soul. Super soul is completely unaffected by that, untouched by that. So, that is how it is clearing one misconception. And in the purport, that point also has been addressed, that how, due to Shankaracharya's Kevaladvaitavad, a great misconception has prevailed in the Indian scene of philosophy, philosophical understanding. Actually, in order to understand Shankaracharya's presentation, we have to understand the purpose of Shankaracharya's coming. Why did Shankaracharya come? In order to understand why Shankaracharya came, we have to understand why Lord came as Buddha. Why Krishna came as Buddha. How many of you know why Krishna came as Buddha? No? Okay, only few. How many of you want to know why Krishna came as Buddha? Okay. You see, due to the influence of the age of Kali, the Brahmanas started to kill animals in the name of sacrifice. But these were not the Brahmanas actually. Taking advantage of the Vedas, they were indulging in those activities. But this another interesting thing to note, that in the age of Kali, some demons will be born in the Brahminical family and they'll destroy the Vedic culture. রাক্ষসা কলিমাশ্রিতা জায়ন্তে ব্রহ্মযোনিষু। সাম রাক্ষসাস, সাম ডিমন্স টেকিং অ্যাডভান্টেজ অফ কলি যুগা উইল টেক বার্থ ইন ব্রাহ্মণা জায়ন্তে ব্রহ্মযোনিষু, ইন দে'ল টেক বার্থ ইন ব্রাহ্মিনিকাল ফ্যামিলিজ। নাও দে'ল বি রেকগনাইজড অ্যাজ ব্রাহ্মণাস, বাট হোয়াট উইল দে ডু? দে'ল কমপ্লিটলি ডিস্ট্রয় দ্য বেদিক কালচার। They will introduce all kinds of undesirable activities in the name of the Vedas. And as a result of that, the whole Vedic culture will become contaminated. And one such activity was innumerable sacrifice of animals in the name of Vedic sacrifice. Now, the sacrifice is actually meant to please Krishna. But here, নিন্দসি যজ্ঞ বিদেহ শ্রুতি জাতং। যজ্ঞ বিধি, দ্য প্রসেস অফ যজ্ঞ স্যাক্রিফাইস, শ্রুতি জাতং, দ্যাট ইজ জেনারেটেড ফ্রম শ্রুতি অফ দ্য ভেদাস। সো দ্যাট মিন্স ইন দ্য নেম অফ দ্য ভেদাস দে আর কিলিং অ্যানিমলস অ্যাজ ইন দ্য নেম অফ ভেদিক স্যাক্রিফাইস। বাট সিইং দ্যাট কৃষ্ণস হার্ট বিকেম অ্যাফ্লিক্টেড, Sadaya Hridaya Darshita Pashu Ghatam. Seeing that this slaughtering of animals, Pashu Ghatam, Sadaya Hridaya, Krishna's tender heart, merciful heart, became very much afflicted, very, very much pained. Therefore, in order to stop this animal sacrifice, Keshava Dhrita Buddha Sarira. In order to stop this animal sacrifice, Krishna came as Buddha. Now, this animal sacrifice was going on in the name of the Vedas. So, in order to stop that, what did Buddha do? He said, there's no need for Vedas. He rejected the Vedas. And he presented a new kind of a concept of religious activities, spiritual activity. That is, do good, speak the truth, and do all these good things, the 10 good activities. Just be good. Don't hurt anybody. Don't be violent to others. Be merciful. Be compassionate. Be truthful. And he pointed out the ultimate goal of life is to achieve nirvana. And nirvana means to become nothing. This material nature is a place of suffering. And the body is the cause of suffering. Therefore, get rid of this body. Become nothing. So if you become nothing, then there won't be any suffering. So this is how he presented a new philosophy, and that is called Shunyavad, voidism. Shunya, void, become nothing, become zero. So by establishing a new theory of new concept of non-violence, Buddha stopped animal sacrifice. So when that mission was accomplished, there was a need to re-establish the Vedas. Because without the Vedas, there is no way of understanding the spiritual reality and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there was a need to re-establish the Vedas. Therefore, he instructed Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva came as Shankaracharya. Lord Shiva himself told Parvati, Mayavadam Ashachastram Prachanna Buddham Uchate Mayoiva Bihitang Devi Kalo Brahmana Murtina. Kalo Brahmana Murtina. Appearing as a Brahmana in the age of Kali, I will establish Mayavadam, a theory called Mayavad, which is Asat Shastram, a temporary understanding. Temporary, Asat Shastram, Shastram. Prachanna Bodham Uchyate, which is actually covered Buddhism. Prachanna Bodham Uchyate, Mayeva Vihitam Devi Kalo Brahmana Murtina. So this is how, this is why Shankaracharya, Lord Shiva came as Shankaracharya. Now, he had a big problem. The Buddhists have rejected the Vedas. They have nothing to do with the Vedas. They have developed a new theory, totally different from the Vedic conclusion. So now to convince them, if you just come and bring them the Vedas, what will they say? Mind you, at that time, the whole of India became Buddhist, practically. So if you go and tell them that this is the teachings of the Vedas, what they will say? It's okay, that is your teachings, that's your dharma, that's not our way. Therefore, Shankaracharya took a very smart approach, made a very smart approach. He is smart, Lord Shiva himself. So he presented that, look, you are speaking of Nirvana. You are saying ultimate goal of life is to achieve Nirvana. And Nirvana is to become nothing. But actually this Nirvana is a Vedic concept. According to the Vedas, Nirvana is not become nothing. But Nirvana means to merge with the Absolute. And what is Absolute? If he gave the real conclusion of the Vedas, then again Buddhists won't accept it. If he said Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha, then the Buddhists would have said, okay, we have nothing to do with that. So what did they say? What did Shankaracharya say? That you are saying nothing, but actually the Absolute, in an indirect way he said that Absolute is nothing. The Absolute, the Brahman, doesn't have any form. Brahman doesn't have any potency. Brahman doesn't have any variegatedness. Brahman doesn't have any quality. So that means Brahma has nothing, nothing, nothing. So what is Brahman? Indirectly he's saying Brahman is nothing. So this is how he actually bewildered the Buddhists. And said the goal of life is not to merge into nothing, but the goal of life is to merge into the Absolute, which is without form, without quality, and so forth. So Buddhists didn't have any difficult, I mean, they could not really refute that. So this is how Shankaracharya very smartly established the Vedas, creating a new concept. Vedas have a concept which is called Brahma Parinambad, transformation of Brahman. This world, this manifested world, is a transformation of Brahman. Just as example, just as milk is transformed into yogurt. So milk is a substance, yogurt also is a substance. But what did Shankaracharya present is a theory of illusion. Not a theory of transformation, but theory of illusion. It is not, but it appears to be. And he gave the example of a mirage in the desert. One sees, a thirsty traveler sees a mirage in the desert. What does he think? He thinks it's a whale, it's water. Mirage gives the impression of water. He gave another example. Just as a rope is mistaken to be a snake. It's a rope, but one mistakes it to be a snake. So similarly, this material nature is a mistaken concept. Maya means actually illusion. So theory of illusion. And the Sanskrit expression is Vivartavad. Again, theory of illusion. So anyway, this is how he, Shankaracharya, established the Vedas. Buddhism was defeated and Buddhism was driven out of India. That's one thing Shankaracharya did. He drove Buddhism out of India. At a time when whole of India actually became Buddhistic. And then came Ramanujacharya. See, Shankaracharya established the Vedas but didn't give the real teachings of the Vedas. Then Ramanujacharya defeated Shankaracharya's theory of Kevaladvaitavad or Mayavad or Vivartavad, and he established his Vishishtadvaitavad. Kevala Advaitavad and Vishishta Advaitavad. I mean, he defeated it in a very, very expert way. Just to give some examples. So, Shankaracharya, you remember? He established this theory of illusion as a mirage is mistaken to be water. A rope is mistaken to be a snake. So he raised that question. Fine, there is no water in the mirage. But somewhere the water is existing, that's why you're mistaking the mirage to be water. Fine, there is no rope, snake in the rope. But somewhere the snake is existing, that's why you're mistaking the rope to be snake. Similarly, this variety, the form, the personality, the quality, and so forth, they're existing somewhere. That's why you're mistaking this to be that. So that is how he established the transcendental unity or transcendental oneness. In the spiritual reality, it is with variety. And differentiation. So anyway, this is how Ramanujacharya not really defeated. Shankaracharya was a devotee of the Lord. Shankaracharya, if you look at the life of Shankaracharya from his childhood, he's a devotee of Krishna. He was going to the bank of the river and there was a Krishna temple and he used to spend all the time there. And at the end of his life also, what's his instruction? Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Murhamate. You fools, worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship Govinda. This word jugglery is not going to help you at the time of death. Prapte sannihita marane, nahi nahi rakshati dhunkrin karane. Your grammatical arguments and word jugglery is not going to save you when the time comes to leave the body. So surrender unto Krishna. So this is how we see that although some misconceptions have entered, actually Shankaracharya's Mayavad is prevailing the Indian spiritual domain in a very, very serious way, still now. But Srila Prabhupada came to destroy this Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshatarine. He came to remove that impersonalism and voidism. Shankaracharya's impersonalism and Buddha's voidism, he came to remove. And it is done through the proper Vedic understanding. Here we are saying what the Vedas are saying. The personified Vedas are offering their prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, dispelling all these misconceptions. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Does anybody have any question? Yes. Oh, you have the mic already? You had a question?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I'll take your question afterwards. He already has the mic.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very nice class. I just wanted to know what was the part played by Nimbarkacharya and Vishnu Swami.
They came also established gradually. Then finally, you see, they came. Shankaracharya established the Vedas with his impersonalistic concept. Then these Vaishnavacharyas introduced the personal concept. And that created a conflict between Daitavadis and Advaitavadis, Vaishnavas and Shankarites. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and harmonized that through his Achinta Bheda Vedatva. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Maharaj, I also wondered about this not indirect or quite extreme plan of the Lord to come as Buddha, to reject the Vedas, come as Shankaracharya, to give, looked like a misinterpretation, Ramanuja Madhvalota. It's quite a radical, maybe is the word I'm looking for. So is there an application for us in that the Lord took such extreme measures to preach? That he it looked very bogus. For us, in that the Lord, back, so in other words, to preach, he used an extreme method. He rejected.
I tried to explain why Buddha came, to stop. His purpose was to stop. Silent. He didn't say anything. So the point is, he came to stop animal sacrifice. And in order to do that, he had to introduce a new concept. Right? That, rejecting the Vedas. Why rejected the Vedas? Because the Vedic concept was contaminated. People were not getting the real teachings of the Vedas. Rather, some contaminated concept were prevailing. So that's why he came. And he established his teachings. But then the gradual transformation took place when Shankaracharya came, re-established the Vedas. But in order to do that, he had to make some compromise with Buddhism and Vedic conclusions. Right? But then this compromise that was made with Buddhism through his Kevala Daitavad was corrected by the other Vaishnava acharyas, like mainly Ramanujacharya first, then Madhvacharya, Nimbarkacharya and Vishnu Swami. And then finally Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And then comes the bold preaching. Right? No more dilly-dallying. No more beating around the bush. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the teachings of the Vedas. So that is what is giving us the prerogative to boldly declare what the actual teachings of the Vedas are. And also boldly declare why Buddha acted in that way, why Shankaracharya acted in that way, just as we are trying to present here. Yes?
Maharaj, was it worth it to ignore the Vedas and the Supreme Lord? Was it worth it to reject the Vedas, which means also the supreme worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just to save some animals from being slaughtered?
Well, the Supreme Personality of Godhead did it, so how can you question it?
But I see it more as a chance for human beings to choose different, to have an option.
Yeah, true. Like, he has created the Kali Yuga individuals to become misdirected. In Kali Yuga, people will become degraded. And this is one of the arrangements for them to become degraded. Like as they are becoming degraded through Buddhism. And Buddhism is covered atheism.
And one more question. So these old temples like Sri Rangam, I've never been there, but are they before Buddhism? Because there the worship continued, no?
Yeah.
Lord. There was always Vaishnavas there, despite Buddha.
Yeah, yeah. Vaishnavism was prevalent in India.
So it didn't stop completely the worship of the Supreme Lord.
Let me see.
I don't know. So.
Whereas Jamunacharya and Ramanujacharya, no, they came after Buddha. Yeah. Srirangam temple was there, but it was, like the Sri Sampradaya taking over the service, that took place with Jamunacharya. Thank you. Yes?
Thank you, Maharaj, for explaining. Don't mean to be offensive, but I just wanted to share this, that Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra is Nirvisesa. So after Prabhupada came, of course, Lord Chaitanya started it about getting rid of that concept of impersonalism. So it seems like it's even spreading faster. Swami Ramdev, they're opening about 500 Gurukuls very soon, within next few years. And it seems like that, but you may have a better idea. So I'm just...
Okay, good point. You see, when the Battle of Kurukshetra was being arranged, it seems that the Kauravas were so powerful. They have taken over, they spread their influence all over the world. Pandavas were in exile for 13 years. So in the 13 years, they took over the entire world. But at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra, what happened? So don't worry about what Ramdev Baba or Vishnudev Baba is doing. Right? Krishna consciousness will prevail. The question is, what are you going to do about that?
See, on the other hand, it does seem that Lord Chaitanya might be using them to establish Vanaprastha ashram. They have beautiful Vanaprastha ashram, Gurukuls. So it's just
I don't want to speculate on that.
As you said,
that Ramdev Baba's, he's not really presenting Krishna consciousness. He is presenting Mayavad.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't worry about it. Like, just let us stick to what Srila Prabhupada has given us. The world may go in a certain way. We should not worry about that. We should also remember, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in India when whole of India was under Muslim domination. Whole of India was Muslim. Then why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear at a time like that? Simply to teach us, whatever the external situation is, don't worry about that. Just stick to your Krishna consciousness. Hold on to it with full conviction. That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his prediction will become a reality. Every town and village will become Krishna conscious.
Thanks.
Okay, I'll take the last question. There was some question. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj. It's lovely to see you here. My question, you've touched on a topic today that me and my husband were talking about on the way into the temple this morning. I'm a bit nervous, so excuse me. All these great personalities came along and they turned the whole of the things upside down, the way people think and everything. How do we know, and this is not a doubt as such, but it is, story. How do we know that in the next 200, 400, 1,000 years, it's all of what we're doing now, which I have no problem with because it's helping me a lot. How do we know that this isn't going to get turned upside down by the next great personality who comes along? Next personality who comes along. How do we know that this is the end of the story?
Yeah. I don't know. The thing is that leave it up to Krishna. He is the supreme controller. And our business is just to surrender unto him. What's the point in speculating what is going to happen after 200 years?
You know, all of these ideas are developing and they're lovely. And we're learning from what
yes, it is. It is continuum. It is continuing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, then his teachings got lost. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur came, revived the teachings. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came, implemented that teaching all over India. Then Prabhupada came, took that teaching and spread it all over the world. And then Prabhupada established ISKCON, and through his devotees, this mission will continue. So don't worry about it. This will continue. Mahaprabhu's plan is perfect. So just stick to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrangement. Everything will be alright. Alright? Yes, Paravida Prabhu.
Of our practice, you know, we experience so much happiness in Krishna consciousness. And many of us have experienced Buddhism or all those things. So that's why I became Hare Krishnas. It was the topmost, the highest. And so even if someone else comes to know the philosophy, I wouldn't accept it because I'm happy here.
Right. And the thing is, you know, like, we have to also consider Srila Prabhupada made the perfect arrangement. That is ISKCON. After Prabhupada, our movement has gone through many, many crises. But today, we have been able to overcome those crises because of ISKCON. And this because the institution is intact. The institution is intact through two arrangements. One is a concept of collective management through the GBC, and the other is Prabhupada's position as the founder Acharya. These two things are keeping ISKCON intact. And with the passing of time, these two aspects is going to become stronger and stronger, especially Prabhupada's position as the founder Acharya, the Acharya of ISKCON, is going to become stronger and stronger. And that's what is going to be the real strength of ISKCON. And that is what... And so because Prabhupada's position will be so firmly established that, you know, like, it is going to not... It's not going to waver at all. Teachings of Srila Prabhupada will be perfectly established and followed by his loyal followers. He has given he has made the arrangement through his books. That is one advantage, that's one prerogative we have. Like, say for example, the other day actually somebody questioned me, like whether ISKCON also can become fragmented like the Christianity has. Christianity fragmented into so many groups. My answer was that it's not going to happen. You know why? Because unlike Jesus, Srila Prabhupada made his presentation, his teachings, firmly established in his books. Whereas Jesus' teachings, nobody knows what his teachings are actually. And that's why there is so many misconceptions developed and the Christianity became divided. And the other consideration is that, you know, Prabhupada's legacy will be carried on through the institution of ISKCON, that is, that he himself established. And Prabhupada himself established two concepts in that. That the concept of collective management through the GBC, he emphatically told us to manage the institution through the collective. And as a result of that, you see, when somebody deviates, no matter how powerful he may be, he cannot stand up 25 other or 35 other members you know, which that is forming the GBC. No one is strong enough to kind of, you know, disregard the concept of the, or the authority of the GBC. And then Prabhupada's teachings, established through his books, and in that capacity, Srila Prabhupada is the acharya for all the devotees of ISKCON for all time. Whoever joins ISKCON has to follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And that is what establishes Prabhupada as the acharya. So that's why you can rest assured that we are in a safe platform. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.